Thanks for coming today. So good to be together to praise the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. I stopped in the office this morning before the service and I was checking my phone messages, and one of the messages said, "Hey Vince, not sure if you're going to remember me. I wanted to reach out to you about something. This is Gary Dowdy." Now, some of you are like, "Who's that?" Most of you are probably that way. We used to call him Dahuti, Dahuti, Gary Dowdy. But boy, my mind immediately jumped back 50 or 60 pounds ago, right, into the mid-80s, when our church had three fast-pitch softball teams and Gary Dowdy. Oh, and my mind just started thinking, wow. You know, all the lives through the years that I've been able to celebrate Easter with here. So, and yours as well, absolutely. That's what I was going to say, some for the first time perhaps here, right? But through the years, right, in my annual report, like for next week's meeting, you'll see an annual report, which I encourage you to read, the different ministries. But I write about some of the lives that celebrated Easter with us last year that aren't here anymore. We've lost some people that we all knew very well, right? They're with the Lord. You think about all the lives over the years, and some of your minds, if you've been here a long time, are seeing a lot of different, you know, people in your mind. I think of Ernie and Virginia Mancini. Now, Ernie Mancini was the chairman of the building committee for this building. If Ernie were still here, he'd be talking to you about the new building. It was built in 1967, but still the new building to him. He was the building committee chairman back then. His wife, Virginia, she was related to Don Bianco, and he went to Maple Shade High. He was a teacher, a soccer coach. But they gave me the privilege at their 50th wedding anniversary, the privilege of singing Through the Years, that Kenny Rogers song, as they kind of like danced with each other, and I'm singing Through the Years. And as I was singing, they were talking, and I wasn't hurt, right? Of course not. It's their 50th wedding anniversary. I'm singing, you know, Kenny Rogers song. And you can tell they're saying probably, "Oh, remember this, remember that." Oh, so such wonderful memories, right? Such nostalgia looking back. I don't believe that was the mood in the upper room as Jesus' body lay in the tomb. I don't believe anyone said, "You know what? He's gone, but oh, let's talk about who, let's make a slideshow. Put some good songs to it." It's wonderful when we do that, but I don't think anybody in the room was doing that. I don't think anybody was telling stories that were making people laugh and cry. Nobody was singing Through the Years, but they didn't know in just a little while, and then for all eternity, they would be singing. They would be singing a different song. Maybe not Through the Years, but how about Through the Walls, right? I could picture that Easter night, maybe one of the apostles looking at Jesus and going, "Phew. Through the walls, you never let me down. You turned my life around. The sweetest day I found when you walked through these walls," right? Oh, man. Oh, what a moment. It's been a thrill to celebrate it, not only on Easter, but every day of life. We do it again today. This particular group of people who won't be here on earth next year, I don't know. I know we're here now. And I want us to celebrate that moment. Maybe today for you here or watching online, maybe this is going to be the first day of your life that Jesus literally walks through the walls of your heart and gives you a born-again new life. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord. You've celebrated Easter often. But the discouragement of COVID, the discouragement of culture, the discouragement of the Kremlin, you know, has kind of just caked onto your heart this sense of, and you need to hear the good news again, because it can shatter anything discouraging that is caked onto your heart. And so to understand it, we gotta go to the moment. We have to, because the gospel writers want us to. And so let us begin with the first thing we want to see. Inside these walls, before they were singing through the walls, when they weren't singing through the years, what does John tell us in John chapter 20 and verse 19? When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. John gives us a setting. Here's what the scene was like before the resurrected Jesus entered in. Remember that nobody in that room got an invitation to celebrate Easter. At our house right now, on our old kitchen counter, we have several invitations to different baby showers, wedding showers, weddings for some of your families and lives, and we're invited. Nobody had, join us tomorrow at 3:00 for Easter. We will see the risen Christ. No. How did they get in this room? It would appear, as we see them gathered in fear and brokenness, that they have been gathering. They didn't all come at the same time. One by one, little by little, we see them coming back to the group after the crucifixion. We're not given a lot of information. We're not told a lot, because the gospel writers are telling us the main truth of what unfolded. We get glimpses in Mark chapter 14, right? Mark chapter 14 of the crime scene, of the witnesses to the crime scene there in Mark chapter 14 and verse 50. For we read what? All of his followers left him and fled. And a certain young man that was following Jesus, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him. But he left the linen sheet behind, and he escaped naked. So we have them all running. At least one of them is streaking, but we have them all running, right? They're running in panic and in fear and in awe. They're just, this is not a group rallying. Jesus is being taken. Most of them are running, but some of them also keep following. They go all the way to the cross. They see all the torture, all the horror. They're there until the end. And Luke tells us about it in Luke chapter 23, when he lets us know kind of that final scene of heaviness. Luke 23 and verse 55, where he says, "Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after and saw the tomb and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment." And so these are the last ones, and they're headed back, and Matthew and Mark tell us kind of the last ones sitting there. They're just sitting by the grave is Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene. How has this happened? There's been panic. There's been pain. And they huddle back in the upper room. And I want you to get a look at their faces. It's one of the things I loved about Friday was when we saw, these were all guys I knew. They're human beings, guys I've, you know them. You know which ones, are more animated and which aren't, and which, they're people from real life, like the apostles. And we got to see how Leonardo da Vinci, at least, pictured their faces and their posture. I want you to go back into the upper room, and they're gathering little by little. They're coming in one after another, and they're broken and they're beat up. Some years ago, Gary Dowdy, when he said his name in the mid-80s, back then we had a church in the area that, we had a lot of, guys playing softball and sports. We had a church in the area that reached out and said, "Hey, we'd like to play you guys in flag football." Sure. So we went to play them in flag football, and I'll tell you what, we're out there, and I remember they had ball first, and I'm playing free safety, so I'm waiting for what I'm used to, a nice friendly church game with two-hand touch, and who's they're going to try and confuse me with running all sorts of patterns and all, and they hike the ball, and I didn't see any receivers at all. Nobody's coming out for a pass. I see, they're running a power sweep. And so I make my way over, and as I'm coming for the first time, somebody elbows me in the back of the head, and I go down. They ran three power sweeps and scored a touchdown on us. They were throwing low cut blocks at our knees. They were elbows to the head. We kind of like gathered. What was that? What happened? I got an elbow beat in the back of the head. What is going on? Of course, we gathered together. We huddled and we responded. Much more like the modern NFL, we were more athletic and we ran a lot of pass patterns, and eventually we took over the field, right? But no, seriously, they were more physical. I picture the disciples kind of coming in like, what happened? It was like somebody cut me up dead legs. I was going along. Somebody was like a crackback. I didn't even see it coming. What? And they're huddling together and they're broken. Why? Because Jesus gave them answers. Jesus gave them comfort. Jesus gave them hope. Jesus gave them direction. And Jesus is gone. He's dead. And it's like a bandage has been ripped off of their body, exposing all their wounds and their fears and their doubts. Who's in the room? Sometimes we think it's just the apostles, but it's not. Luke told us in Luke chapter 24 and verse 9 that when some of the ones returned from the empty tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. In other words, it's the apostles, but there's men, there's women there who are followers of Jesus, who've loved Jesus, who've supported Jesus. We read the same thing in verse 33. And they arose that very hour, the ones on the road to Emmaus, and they returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them. Some of them fled and came back to the scene. Others stayed the whole time. All of them who were there were in hearing distance were stunned when just before Jesus died, he screamed. Because that doesn't happen with crucifixions. With crucifixions, the end gets quieter and quieter. Because there's the torture, there's the pain, there's the agony, there's the cursing for some and this and that. But eventually there's the labored breathing as their body begins to sink and they're being asphyxiated because they can't hold themselves up anymore and they're suffocating. But then it gets to be quiet and shallow. But not Jesus. We're told, Matthew and Mark tell us, Jesus shouted out, he screamed the moment that he was about to die. Luke tells us what he said. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, Luke says, and Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And don't make it nice. Don't give it a British accent, Father. Into thy blessed hands. No, he's screaming in agony. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And that's the last thing they hear. And so they're in the upper room, and I just picture some of them saying, I can't get it out of my ears. The trauma, I just keep hearing it over and over again. They're gathered like the psalmist, right, in Psalm 42, they're not singing through the years. They're crying like the psalmist in Psalm 42 in verse 9. I will say to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? New Living Translation says, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief? Picture that. Nobody has any answers. This huddle isn't a huddle of like, all right, here's how we're going to respond. We're going to do. There is no answers. Good Friday morning, early in the morning, I was called by the Maple Shade Police. I'm a police chaplain, and I was called out to a scene in town where a man was murdered. He had been murdered in the middle of the night. And so when I arrived to the scene, initially, you know, I kind of go through the initial yellow tape and to the command center, and I'm saying, all right, what details can you give me? What am I allowed to tell the family? What am I not allowed to tell the family? You know. And one of your roles in that is to kind of be a go-between. And sometimes literally going to the police and say, hey, look, they've been standing here a while. Like, we got to give them, share something more. But I walk over to the with them, and I said, I'm Chaplain Vince, and I'm just so sorry in this moment for what you're experiencing. Because they know their loved one is still lying dead inside there. And I said, I my role here is to care for you however I can. If I can get you some water, if I can answer questions, if you're seeing something that's upsetting you, you tell me. I may or may not be able to do something. I may or may not be able to get you an answer, but I'm here for you. And you know what none of them said? Not one of them said, well, we're here to see if the outcome changes. We're here, we've gathered to see if he's going to come walking out of there. Nobody said that. They all knew there wasn't going to be a change in the outcome. So why have they gathered? They've gathered to the place, to be near the place where his life has ended. To hug each other, to cry, to just ask why, but to do it together. And that's what we have in the upper room. Nobody in the upper room is expecting the outcome to change. They're just wandering sheep, broken and beat up, who have come back together. And then we see the second thing through the walls, inside the walls to through the walls. Because early Sunday morning, they start getting reports that the tomb is empty. And someone says, hit it, through the year. No, nobody. Nobody. Nobody's singing. Oh, the women may be kind of, we think we're excited, but Luke lets us know how the news lands back there in the upper room in Luke chapter 24, right? Because he tells us in verse 8, they remembered his words, they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. We were there and an angel said to us, he's not here, he's risen. And these words appeared to them as nonsense. And they would not believe them. Wait a minute. Hang on, don't nobody get excited. I think this is a trap. I think we're getting set up. I think this is part of their whole conspiracy. They want to say, we took the body and make us, you know, listen, let's just stay right where we are. This is a trick. After all, why would he appear to Mary Magdalene and not to the rest of us? Doesn't make any sense. And so they stay hidden behind locked doors until what? Until John adds those words to us back in verse 19 of chapter 20. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Wow. What a moment. It says they rejoiced. It wasn't right away. We see elsewhere in the Gospels, initially they're like, because what they know is standing in front of them is a real physical body. How did that physical body get through the walls? I think I've told you before, when once years ago we were talking as a family, what kind of superpower would you want? I said, invisibility. I could be invisible. I could walk up to the bad guy and just clock him in the back of the head. And I think Vince said, well, if you're invisible, you can't hit anybody. It's like that. And here's biblical evidence. Jesus isn't invisible, but he goes through the wall, but he has a real body. Wow. At first, what? But as the truth is landing on them, it's stunning. This isn't another Jesus. This isn't a vision of Jesus. This isn't a spiritual Jesus. Here in front of them is their Jesus. This is the body that was crucified. This is the body that the world did all the worst, terrible things they could do to him. And it didn't work. He defeated death. He did it. The one thing we needed to see, there it is. Jesus is alive again. See, they wanted Jesus to avoid death. The apostles at different times said, like, if you're telling us you're going to Jerusalem and you're going to be crucified, why are we going there? That doesn't make any sense. Say, when I walk across the street, I'm going to get hit by a car. But then don't walk across the street, right? Why are you going? Avoid it. But Jesus said, I'm not coming to avoid it. I'm coming to void it. I'm coming to take that bill of death and write void across it. It's worthless. Death was arrested. It's powerless. And Jesus did it all. He did it all. John tells us the evidence, right? Verses 26 to 28, after 8 days again, his disciples were inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. He said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Luke in his gospel says, Jesus said, handle me. Handle me. Go ahead. Touch me. Do whatever. Do whatever you want to do. It's a real body. Give me something to eat. And he ate it. It's really him. See, the resurrection is not a doctrine. It's a living person. I mean, we believe in the doctrine of the resurrection, but not because somebody made up a doctrine. It's about a living person, Jesus Christ, who with the same body that he took on, God, the Son of God, who left heaven and took on human flesh as a baby laid in the manger, who grew and took that body and took upon him his absolute righteousness, all of our sin, and he was crucified for it, and he was buried, but he rose again. He defeated it. He won. And we go from inside the walls to through the walls to our walls. To our walls. Because I know you're like me. We can identify with the psalmist a lot when the psalmist says, what are you doing? Why? Why did you let that happen? It was a horrible thing that person experienced. Why is that family standing to be next to that yellow tape while their loved one has been murdered, is inside? Why? We've been in rooms like that upper room, right? Times where the walls feel like they're just caving in. And they're bringing our anxieties and our fears and our doubts and our hurts, and they're just pulling them closer to us. And all the spiritual joy and oxygen is getting sucked out of the room, and all we got is these walls. And in those moments, oh, there have been times I've thought, oh, Jesus, how I wish you would walk through the wall right now. You just came through the wall of this room, and I could take your hand. He never has. He's never done it. He's going to come again. I'm going to see him face to face, either when he comes, calls me to meet him in the air, or when my life ends here. But he's never walked through the walls. But he doesn't have to, because that moment he did what? When he was revealing himself to the witnesses, the verse we read, he sent the power of the resurrection forward through the years ahead. When he said this to Thomas, Jesus said to him, John 20, verse 29, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. John says, many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Peter says the same thing years later to us, right? Peter says, trust me, like John, I'm an eyewitness, but I know that you're not. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 8 and 9, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. We look at these individuals who have come to Christ. We forget that what Peter, the people Peter's talking to, they never saw Jesus either. Most of them. They're taking the testimony of these eyewitnesses. Wow. And it's coming through the walls of their lives. Kirk Franklin is a tremendous, leads a gospel choir. Kirk Franklin had just a heartbreaking beginning of his life. Abuse in his home to his sister. He remembers hearing his mother telling his adoptive mother, I never wanted him. Why, I don't ever ask me to help with him. I don't want him. And he shares that when he was 7 years old, with all that around him, he would go up onto the roof of their house, the flat roof of their house at night, and just lay there and look up at the stars. And he said, what? I just talked to God. The love of Jesus was right there. See, it doesn't matter what somebody does to you. Nobody has the ability to keep the love of Jesus from getting through the walls of your heart. You may have been treated horrendously. That person doesn't have the power to stop the love of Jesus from coming through the walls of your heart. I remember when they came through the walls of mine. They didn't come through the walls of the church. I was sitting right about where Frank Pellicori's sitting in the mid-70s. And I remember Jesus saying, Vincent, blessed are they who have not seen me and yet believe. Vincent, it's your time. Blessed are you. Believe in me and let me walk through the walls of your heart. And he did. Believe what? Believe what the gospel message is, what I said, that Christ Jesus came to this earth to die for sinners. That Christ Jesus went to the cross. He took it all. He paid the price for you. You say, you don't know what I've done. I know. But what I do know is when I stood there on Good Friday morning, I knew that Jesus Christ died to pay for the sinners of the victim who was lying there, and I knew that Jesus Christ died to pay for the sin of the perpetrator who killed him, if they would turn to him by faith. Because scripture says all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. But by the grace of God, if you believe, Jesus said, whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me, has eternal life. The Apostle Paul said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The resurrection is the evidence that that promise is true. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay my life down for the sheep. They hear my voice and follow me, and I give them eternal life. How do we know it's true? Because they crucified him. He laid down his life as the good shepherd, and then he rose from the dead. Maybe today is your day right now to say, right where you're sitting, right now, in your own heart, oh God, I confess my sin to you. Nobody else needs to hear them. I confess it to you. And I put all my faith in Jesus Christ as my victorious Savior. Save me, forgive me, cleanse me. Maybe you're at home where you're watching. Maybe you're in a car watching on a phone, traveling to family. He'll save you right where you are if you come in faith. Maybe you need to be reminded in a fresh way. Jesus needs to get through the worldly walls of your heart, the hurting walls of your heart, the doubting walls of your heart, and remind you what the resurrection of Jesus Christ has truly done for those who come to him in faith. For Paul says it, because Jesus rose from the dead. What does Paul say? 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also then, for those of us who come to him in faith, is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. But understand what that verse is saying. It's not saying a spiritual body that's unrelated to this one. God's never going to be done with this body, this one. In other words, Jesus Christ died in a body, rose again in that body. Somehow, while he is the eternal Son of God who is with all of us when we call to him, he walks with us, he abides in us. At the same time, someday we are going to see him in a real, glorified, but real body with the nail prints in his hands. And it says something about our bodies. I'm not trying to discourage you if you're thinking, wait a minute, are you telling me I'm stuck with this body? Because it's this body, but it's going to be resurrected. That's the promise. It's going to be, none of us are going to be looking in the mirror in heaven going, oh, come on. None of us, right? It's not going to happen. But the fact I'm trying to say to you is, these lives we share with each other, they're eternal if you come to faith in Jesus. I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's to make a difference in every moment of our lives. A little over 3 months ago, Jen Hyland and I were standing with Kathleen Thompson in an ICU room by the bedside of her husband, Bruce, and her family who had been in with him out in the waiting room. And as we stood there, the medical team, Jen's knowledge, and the monitors were making clear to us, Bruce's body is being sown in weakness. Bruce's life is leaving him. His body is failing. And as we heard those words, he's gone. It was a moment of such heaviness. I mean, one of the hardest moments of, I can't think of one much more, one of the hardest moments in my years of pastoral ministry. Sadness, deep sadness. But I want to tell you what I was so aware of as I stood there. Those ICU walls could not keep Jesus Christ from coming into that room. And as we sat there, I looked at Bruce's body and I thought, wow, this body is going to be raised up again. This body, your dad's body, your husband's body, you're going to be able to hold his hand. You're going to feel his arms wrapped around you. because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And his promise is this: let me walk through the walls of your heart, and you will walk with me forever, forever. Oh, let that break away any crust that is gathered on you. Let it give you new life today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father in heaven, how we praise you for the Easter message. How we praise you, oh God, for what Jesus Christ has done for us. Thank you, Lord. You didn't rise from the dead as a mist, as a spirit. You rose in a victorious body. Give us that confidence that that is what awaits us forever with you. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. Amen.